KQJO, St. Joseph Natchez 99.3.
Welcome to the radio broadcast of Living Word Ministry. Stay tuned and focus. Let Word
Chapter 10, verse 3. I want you to say, I have the word, and I'm ready to receive it. Amen. You have that? We're going to read verse 3, 4, and 5. We'll parade and peruse those three verses. Amen. And hopefully we'll get to an end. Amen. Amen. It says in verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. May God of the blessing, those hearers and doers of his word, the grass wither, the flower fade, but the word of God stands forever. Amen. Amen. Want to use for a thought this morning. The weapons and the warfare. Simple message. I believe that it's good that we hear this and be reminded of who we war with and why we war. Amen. When we talk about warfare, we talk about conflict, things like that. People do not actually like conflict. We don't always like warfare, but sometimes we need some conflict and some warfare so that we can conquer some things that we would not have conquered unless we fought. Amen. There are some things that we need to conquer in our lives so that our children don't have to fight. Amen here. You know, some of us need to welcome some of the wars that we are fighting even now. We need to say, you know, it's okay to fight this conflict and fight. Matter of fact, the Apostle Paul had so much to say about warfare. He had so much to say about us having a conflict or fight. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, and I believe around verse 18 and 19, he says that he said that this charge I to commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before thee, that thou by them might war a good warfare, holding the faith and a good conscience, which some having put in away concerning the faith have made shipwreck. And what he's saying here is that in order for us not to go shipwreck, we need to make sure we keep our mind on the war and the warfare that we're fighting. And he said we need to war a good warfare. In other words, that we need to fight well. You know, nobody wants to watch a boxing match that's not interesting, that one person is just beating up on the other. You want to see a good fight. And so Paul is saying we need to fight the good fight of faith, war, a good warfare. And we can't just stand back and sit back and lay down and let our enemy, the devil, you know, he's as a roaring lion, and let him just take over our life. We can't let him just have his way, do what he wants to do, and we go away crying and not trying to fight back. The Bible tells us, Peter says that we ought to resist the devil and he will what? Flee from us. And all it takes is a bit of resistance. It doesn't take a whole, you don't have to know everything in order to fight the devil. All you got to do is know one thing. You need to know how to pray. Amen. When you know how to pray and you know how to praise God, then you can resist the devil. You can resist him. And the word flee in that text means that he'll run and hide from you. Amen. We got to get to the place where we make the devil take flight. But many times we take flight. Amen. Paul also tells Timothy in chapter 6 of the same 1 Timothy, he says, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. So we need to fight the good fight of faith and hold on to eternal life. Don't let the enemy snatch from you the things that God has given you. Don't let him take the things from you. Don't let him take your confidence. Don't let him shake your faith. Don't let him interject fear in your life, because fear and faith can't live that at the same time, you have to have faith that will dispel or kick fear out of your life. He also tells 2 Timothy 2 and 4, he says, fight the good fight of faith. And when he says that, lay hold of eternal life, he's telling us that we need to hold on to something. We need to hold on to what God has given us. When he says that, he tells us that we need to fight to hold on. It's not going to be an easy thing, but Paul even tells us that the one thing that he did was forget those things which were what? Behind him, and he reached forth to what was before, and he said, I press, meaning the reason why I have to press is because something's pressing against me. Something's coming against me, so I have to press through those things in order to get to where I need to be, in order to reach the mark for the prize of the high call that is in Christ Jesus. Amen? And so when I think about this, I think about what we talked about on last week, and one of the scripture references was in Romans chapter 7, where he says that I find another law. He said within my members, he said, when I think to do good, evil is present. Amen? But he also says that there is another law. He said, in my members warring against the law of my mind, he says, it's bringing me into captivity those things in the sinful nature or the fleshly nature. He said, I got to understand that even though I have a spiritual life, I still have to fight with my flesh over who rules it. A lot of times we live backwards. We live backwards. And remember what I told you about living backwards, L-I-V-E and E-V-I-L, that's just turning it around, doing it backwards. We live backwards because we let our flesh tell our soul what we want. And so our soul, our mind, our will, our emotions begin to work to try to get our flesh some satisfaction. But sometimes we need to discipline this flesh and tell the flesh that you don't get satisfaction today. Today is the Spirit's day. Today we need to get our spirit man built up by giving him a spiritual word, spiritual food. Amen? But Paul here, he says to us, he says, for though we walk in the flesh, and today I won't have these points like, you know, like normal. I'm going to talk about the scripture and expound. He says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. So what is Paul saying here? He's saying, though our progress that we make, we have to live in this flesh. We have to, you know, we have to live and breathe in this flesh. He says, although we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. He said, we don't war after the flesh. In other words, our conflict is not with fleshly ideas and fleshly things. Our conflict is not with what we feel like doing in the flesh, because many times we do what we feel. And when we feel, that's not a good thing, because, you know, our thoughts and stuff, they begin to come from our flesh, how I feel. I don't feel right, you know. And sometimes we got to understand that, you know, when we have a thought, there's an immediate emotion that follows that thought. You know, so when we have a thought, so when we think on certain things and our feelings begin to come and then we start to act out in our emotions, what has happened now? Our soul has been disturbed because of how our flesh started to feel. Amen. And so he says for us not to walk after the flesh, but and he's to walk in the flesh, but we do not walk after the flesh. Although I live in this body and I'm subject to frailties and failures, I still do not war after what my flesh feel like. And sometimes your flesh may not feel like praying, but you must pray. Your flesh sometimes may not feel like giving God the praise, but you must press your way. Amen. Sometimes your flesh, like this morning, some people said, oh, we put the time up and I just ain't going to be able to make it to church. And so your flesh didn't really feel like getting up, but you have to get up and say, I'm pressing my way because I have to get a word from the Lord. Come on and say amen. And so he says that we don't war after the flesh. In other words, I don't take measures into my fleshly hands in order for me to get victory. A lot of times that's what we do. We try to figure out how I'm going to do it. I'm going to do this myself because we are strong. You know, God don't move the mountain, give me the strength to climb. Why are we telling God that don't move the mountain, give me the strength to climb, when God has told us that if you got faith of the grain of a mustard seed, you can speak to the mountain and tell it move? We try to work in the flesh too much to make ourselves proud of ourselves. But you know what? I'm not looking to make myself proud and build myself in pride, but I'm going to look to God and say, God, I'm proud that you love me enough that you give me the faith that you give, because he gives each man a measure of faith so that he can speak to that mountain and tell it to what? To be removed and cast into the sea. But then Paul goes on and he says, the weapons of our warfare. Now, when we start talking about weapons of our warfare, and just to back up just for a moment, I want to mention to you about Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, talks about how, you know, who we war against. It talks about, basically, in that sixth chapter, talks about, he says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against evil wickedness in high places. If you don't believe me, I'm telling you, there's some evil wickedness in high places. We see it every day. We see it manifest, but we don't recognize it as what it is. We try to put it on people. But I don't wrestle with people. I wrestle with this enemy, the devil. I wrestle with the one the Bible says is as a roaring lion. He's seeking whom he may devour. And if he's seeking somebody to devour them, I need to make sure I'm not the one. So I need to be prepared. I need to make sure I'm dressed for the war. Because what Paul says there, he tells us, he said to put on your helmet of salvation and put on your breastplate of righteousness. He says have your loins girt about with truth. We need to make sure we have our girdle of truth so that some things aren't hanging out that shouldn't be, amen, hanging out. Amen. We need to make sure we know what the truth is. We need to make sure our feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, having our shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And so he tells us what we need in order for us to be dressed for the war. And so we must put on the whole armor of God. And when I was reading that, I said, what is the whole armor of God? And you start talking about it and you realize the whole armor is just what Paul said in Colossians. He said, put on Christ. Amen. The whole armor is nobody but Christ, because he is our salvation. Preach. He is our righteousness. He is our faith, because I can't see him, but I know he's real. Oh yeah, he is the sword of the Spirit, because he is the word of God. John said, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God, and without him wasn't anything made. So I know that that's Christ. Amen. I know that's who I need to put on. I need to put on Christ so I can win this battle. I need to look like Christ, act like Christ, speak like Christ, so that I can win the battle against the devil. Amen? Amen. So he says, for the weapons of our warfare, the weapons. The weapons means it means the tools that we have, the utensils that we're given, the things that we're given to be able to war against this devil. Do you know that God is equipping us? And that's why I'm here, to give you something to equip you, to help you to be able to fight against the wiles of the devil, to be able to overcome his tricks and his traps, the things that he set up in your life to try to get you off track. And so I'm here to give you a weapon, a tool. I'm here to give you a word so that you'll be able, the sword of the Spirit, so that you'll be able to fight against this enemy. Amen? So we need our tools to be able to fight in this conflict, because in this conflict, whenever we begin to fight, sometimes in this conflict, it may seem as though we're losing, because sometimes it don't work out in our favor. Sometimes it doesn't work out in our favor. And so since it doesn't work out in our favor, we sometimes get discouraged and we want to go and get off by ourselves. But that's not what God wants us to do, because there's safety in the multitude of numbers. Amen. So that's why we come to church. That's why we encourage each other's faith. That's why we try to build up on one another. Amen. And so he says, this warfare are not what? Carnal. They're not animalistic. They're not something that you can dream up in your mind. We need to get weapons from God, not something that I can build, not something because I'm real smart that I can do. And you know what? There's nothing wrong with being real smart, but what we got to understand, I'm smart enough to know that God will give me exactly what I need in order to overcome the enemy. Amen here. And so he says they're not carnal, but he said they're mighty through God, meaning that they are powerful through God. If I can get in God and I just stay right there, I can just be in Christ. If I can be in Christ, then these things that I might deal with, they won't be able to overtake me, because the power of Christ, because the Bible says that he will be a fortress. His name is a fortress. He is a strong tower, and the righteous run to it, and they are what? Say, we got to understand that whenever we are in him, that the Bible says it, and also the older people would say, Jesus be a what? Fence all around me. And so he'll protect me whenever I have trouble. Whenever I'm in conflict, he will protect me. Amen? He said, they're mighty through God for the what? Pulling down. And I like this word, when it says pulling down, it means for the demolition. I know we thought that this meant that it'll just pull down, you know, like pulling down a curtain, because I see people all the time when they start talking about pulling down, they start doing this. That's not what that means. It means a demolition. And what a demolition is whenever you blow up a building, whenever you, you know, destroy it with a wrecking ball, you know. In other words, I got a tool that's so powerful that it'll blow up whatever the plan the enemy has in store for me. It'll blow his plan up. Whatever he's tried to fence me in with, the trouble that he's tried to put in my way, it will blow it up. Why do I say that? Because the Bible says that we're filled with the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, the dunamis, the dynamite power of God. Amen. Anybody understood that you got power? You got power to blow some things up. But not only that, you got power like wrecking ball power. You can wreck the plans of the enemy for your life. Oh, yeah, the devil thought he had me, but Jesus reached and grabbed me. Uh-huh. You know how it is. The devil meant it for bad, but I'm so glad that God turned it around for my good. He will wreck the plan of the enemy if I just use the tool that he's given me. So when I'm sick, I say, Lord, you said in your word, here's my tool, that with the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. Oh, Lord, when I'm afflicted, he said, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord shall deliver him from them. Oh, come on and say, man, y'all get with me now. When I'm surrounded by trouble, he said that no weapon, even though they form up against you, shall prosper. I know it came against you, and you were able to see it, but because I don't walk by what I see, I walk by faith and not by sight. I saw it coming, but I wasn't moved by what I saw. I wasn't moved because I knew in whom I believe. I felt like Job in the situation and say, I know my Redeemer lives. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. When I'm tried, I'll come forth as pure gold. Do I have any witnesses today? We have to understand that the warfare, the weapons that we have, they're not carnal, but they're mighty through God to demolish the stronghold. The stronghold is the fence, the gate, the fortress that the enemy has built around you to box you in, to bind you, to keep you blocked up so that you cannot progress the way God wants you to progress. Do you know that it pleases the Father to give you the kingdom of God? There's nothing that God doesn't want you to have. If he has it in him, he wants you to have it in you. I wish I had somebody. And so the only thing that's stopping us is the devil and what he tells us in our mind, how he gets us all spooked up and how he makes us fear. And that's what he uses. He uses the tactic of fear and deception. He hasn't changed. From the beginning, he was a deceiver. From the beginning, he was a liar. So he tells us a lie. He gives us wrong doctrine. He deceives us to believe something is true when it's not. He makes us fear the worst when all we need to do is trust God. Come on and say amen. And so when he does that, he builds a stage in our mind and a fortress in our mind so that we might be blocked from receiving the things of God, so that we can't get out of the place where he binds us to. And I want you to know that the devil, he don't mind you coming to church. But he look, if you're taking the church out to the streets is what he got a problem with. So he don't mind you coming in here and lifting your hands, but what will you do when you leave here? Will you tell somebody how good God is? Will you tell them that God will make a way? Will you tell them that God is sitting high, looking low? He's still on the throne, that God's not dead. He's yet alive. Come on and say hallelujah. He don't mind you coming to church as long as you leave here complaining. He don't mind you coming here as long as you leave here with no faith. But he don't want you to get the faith of God. He don't want you to have trust in God. He don't want you to have a healthy mind, a healthy spirit. We need to start preparing ourselves, getting a healthy soul. I know we work on our bodies and we go work out, but what are you working out in your spirit? Are you working out your soul salvation? Are you giving your spirit man what he needs? Just want you to think about it. He said, the pulling down of strongholds. So I demolish the strongholds, the things that got me bound up. I know we can sing break every chain and break every chain and break every chain. We can keep singing it over and over and over. We'll feel good after the song, but we'll walk out of here still bound. Until something changes in our thinking. until something changes in our believing and in our heart. Look at the next verse. He says, casting down. He gets particular now. He says, in particular, imaginations. He said, I need you to demolish imaginations. I need you to demolish the things that makes you reason with the word of God. I'm reasoning to see if God's word is true or not. You need to demolish that stuff, those things that puts you in a wrong thought, a wrong conscious mind. And so we need to demolish those things whenever you are fearful because of what you see on the news. When you're fearful because of what you think might happen to you. Because you know what? When the early disciples, even when it came to death, they said, you know what? It's okay. Because I know who I believe in. They took death and they said, you know, I don't care what I have to go through. I'm going to hold to my eternal life. I'm going to hold to my faith. And we have to learn how to hold on the same way. No matter what happens. I know somebody said, preacher, no way. I don't want death right now. Nobody wants it right now. But if it comes, are we ready? Lord have mercy. He says, casting down what? Imaginations, our thought. We have to change the way we think because the battlefield is the mind. If the devil can get in your mind, if he can tell you a lie, you'll believe it. If he make you feel paranoid, oh, they talking about me. They think I'm going to fail. And if he start making you start thinking about, and I notice nowadays people focus more on what they call haters than they focus on God. I mean, if you posted on your Facebook page about God as much as you post about haters, Lord have mercy. If you thought about God as much as you think about who don't like you, who's talking about you, who can't stand, if you thought more about God, change the way you think. Get rid of that small thinking and get some thoughts about God. That's why he tells us in Philippians chapter 4, he tells us to think on these things. Whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are perfect, whatsoever things are a good report, if there be any virtue or be any praise, think on these things. That's what he tells us because we need to get our minds right. And the Bible declares that if we keep our mind stayed on him, he'll keep us in perfect peace. Come on and say amen now. So he says that we need to cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So whatever it is that exalts itself in your life and it exalts itself above God, the knowledge of God, knowing God, instead of knowing God, you want to know something else. You, instead of knowing God and getting to know him in your experiences better, as Paul said, that Paul said, I want to know him in the fellowship of his suffering, but also I want to know him in the resurrection of his power. And so Paul understood something, that this flesh has to die. I have to die to this flesh in order for me to fulfill the will of God. I know this is not a message you want to hear this morning, but we got to hear it. Amen. We got to stop walking so much in the flesh that we forget that we are a spirit being that are housed in flesh. Amen. We have to remember this because God wants us to know who we really are. Amen. Because you want to know who you are, what family you come from, you ask your fathers, your forefathers. And so what we need to understand who we are, we need to ask God, our Father, who we really are. And we understand that I'm not this flesh that you see. I know we take care of this flesh. And you know what? Sometimes this flesh becomes our enemy because the flesh war against us in our spirit. The flesh wants to do. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, he talks about the carnal mind. Chapter 7 and 8, he talks about carnality. He said the carnal mind is death. But he said the spiritual mind is life and peace. So whenever we have a carnal mind, he said, it's enmity against God. In my carnal thinking, I'm a rebel against God. I can't have the peace of God because I didn't make peace with God in my mind. My mind is messed up. So if I don't have the peace of God in my mind, how can I make peace with God in my mind and in my heart? How can I have the peace of God when I go through my trial? And if we can go through a trial and have the peace of God, we can handle it so much better. But our peace is disturbed because we don't have confidence. Our peace is disturbed because we don't know who we are in him. Our peace is disturbed because we don't see the trick of the devil, which the battlefield, as I said, is in our mind. And if our mind can get right, that's why Romans chapter 12 tells us, he said, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a what? Living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your what? Reasonable service, that you may know that good and that perfect and acceptable will of God. He said, be not conformed to this world, but be you what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind. You got to know that you are a transformer. You got to know that something inside of you is different than what's on the outside of you. You got to know by the renewing of your mind. I need to make my mind new. Now, how? I can't make my mind new by doing the same old thing every day in my flesh. I can't make my mind new by focusing on the same old stuff. I need to focus on what God has, because the new things that he has for me, for one, he woke me up this morning with new mercies. Yeah. So God makes everything new. The Bible says that if any man be in Christ, he is a what? New creature. Behold, all things have passed away and all things have become what? New. The newness of God. That's what I'm seeking for. He says, casting down imaginations, every high thing that is all itself against the knowledge of God, bringing to captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now I need to bring into captivity. I need to bind this stuff. I have the power to bind it up. I have the power to stop it. And you know, many times we say whatever come to our mind. And do you know that everything you think is not your thought? Sometimes there's a seed planted by the devil. And you sitting there defending a thought that ain't even yours to begin with. Because I think. You know, I thought about that. I thought this person didn't like me. You know what? They ain't got a problem with you. Because the enemy put that thought there. You think you won't make it. And God is saying, I got a plan on the other side of this for you. You get to the valley and you say, oh, I don't think I'm going to make it out this valley. But God said, you made it out the other ones. And David said, yea, do I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I don't have to fear evil because you are what? With me. Anybody feel like that sometime? You feel like, I don't know if I'm going to make it this time. I don't know if I'm going to achieve this time. But do you know that God, he said that we can do all things through Christ that strengthen us? Amen? Amen. And so we fight in this warfare against the enemy, but sometimes we let the enemy have the upper hand. The Bible says don't let him have the upper hand on us. But sometimes we give it to him by fighting against one another. And so that's why he always puts you against a family member. That's why he always puts you against a co-worker or somebody, you know, a classmate or whatever. He puts you against them so that you can fight with each other so you don't recognize what he's doing. We fall back with Cain and Abel. We start fighting each other rather than just worshiping God. If you just keep your eye on God, you ain't got to look at what somebody else is offering and whether or not they're being accepted by God. If I can just keep my eye on the Father, if I can just follow him and lift up my eyes into the hills from whence coming my help, because my help comes from God. Oh, come on and say amen here. Yeah. From the beginning of time, there's been a fight of good and evil, a fight against darkness and light. And so we have to understand that the fight hasn't ended yet. There's still a war going on. The Bible said that there was a war in heaven. And the Bible says that there was Satan, this angel took a third of the other angels and they rebelled against God. But the Bible says Michael and his angels, they cast them down. And later on, we found Jesus saying, I saw Satan fall like lightning. Do you know that when we pray, let thy will, kingdom come and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, we'll send God, just like you whipped him in heaven, we need him to whoop him down here on earth. Come on and say amen in here. We need to know that whatever we're dealing with, whatever situation arises, that we have victory already. You got to think yourself into defeat. You got to think, come on and say amen. You got to talk yourself into succumbing to whatever has come against you. You got to begin to speak negative and start thinking negative. And so we have to watch what we say. Jesus said, what goes in a man doesn't defile him, but what comes out of a man. Then we find out in Proverbs, he says to us that he said that you're snared by the words of your mouth. He said, and from the increase of your lips, your belly is satisfied. The word belly meaning your mind. You're satisfied whenever you say, I think think, I knew I wasn't going to make it. Well, that's what you thought to begin with, so you didn't make it. I knew I wasn't going to get it. That's what you thought to begin with. You didn't use your faith. You didn't use what God has given you to be able to overcome in this life. The Bible tells us we are more